Thank you, Pastor Mr. Tucker, and his wife, President and his wife. I want to salute my fellow board members. I want to acknowledge my co-workers, pastors. I want to acknowledge everyone who works in the vineyard and all the members who are in the church. And I especially want to acknowledge the fact that the grounds look so nice and the building and the auditorium and all the people who are involved in that. The Lord bless you, right? Very much so. All the work that goes behind the scenes, we enjoy it. I recognize that because I've been on that side of the fence too. And I realize all the work that goes on, and sometimes they seem to think that they don't have any ministry. They seem to think that the Lord only blesses the ones behind the pulpit. I tell you, that's not true. We want the Lord to bless us behind the pulpit, but we want the Lord to bless everybody that's active, involved in the vineyard. Amen? Amen. That includes my wife, who took me on a little tour that I was promised her I would do, and it turned out to be New York, Michigan, Ohio, Kentucky, Tennessee, West Virginia, North Carolina, Virginia, and then back home to New Hampshire, all right? It was 2,400 miles, and my dear little wife didn't drive. And, you know, and my immediate family was back home praying up a storm. They were so angry with me that I would be 83 years old and I would dare drive a car 2,300 miles, well, you know. And so the truth of the matter is maybe they'd had a reason back and forth, but I haven't given my license over to the state of New Hampshire yet. And so we're hoping that we do not have to do that. Well, tonight I want to share some thoughts, a few thoughts, and I want to lay the analogy, I want to put an analogy before us, and it has to do with a child care center that we have, and it's licensed by the state of New Hampshire, which means that you have to meet what they want you to meet. And so every now and then they have what they call a surprise inspection. And when they do that, they're looking for anything that they can find wrong. And the truth of the matter is they found some things wrong, but they found two things wrong, which they call critical finding, critical finding. And the critical finding was underneath a shed, and there was 3.5 inches between the T11 or the outside shed and the ground. And they take a ruler, boom, 4 inches, a child can go in there and lose their life. So a critical finding is a life or death, right? We had another one. We had some fertilizer for something for grass to grow, and then they put it in underneath the sink, and it did not have a lock on it. So a child could come in and, you know, have a nice little lunch on that, and then we have another critical finding. And so there it was, a critical finding. I say that because I want to leave that analogy with you as we endeavor to look into the Word of God. I want you to understand that a critical finding has to do with life or death, life or death. And so this evening, I want to remind myself that, you know, sometimes when we get a little older, we forget things that we thought we would never forget. And, you know, I've come to a conclusion in my life that there's a whole lot I don't know, but there's a little bit I do know. And so I would say to any of you young people, study, study, study while you have a very good brain. And study, study, study when you know that God's going to use it. I leave that with you because the older I have gotten, the more I realize how much I do not know. And so consequently, it's very important to hear what the Lord speaks to you so that you know the voice of the Lord. We can learn to know the voice of the Lord. Yes, we can. And I leave that with you. We can learn to know the voice of the Lord. So tonight, we want to look at some very familiar portions of Scripture. I believe we're going to entitle this, these little words, "Is There Not a Cause?" Is there not a cause? And so we're looking at that word cause, C-A-U-S-E. And I will give a little definition, one or two. Any rational ground for choice of action. Any rational ground for choice of action. We want to look at it means an occasion or condition upon the occurrence of which we have to notice an event that has taken place. So I give that little definition so that we can understand that we have to have a final cause, what God would direct us to. And so looking at the life of David, a very familiar portion of Scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 22 to 24, I'm just going to kind of go along because I know it's a part of Scripture that we're very familiar with, but I'd like to pick it up in verse 22 and 24. Now, David had been told by his father to take these food belongings down to his brethren, and also he had some for the captain of the host, so he was taking care of parts of the army, and David was on his way down to look to see what was going on. And it says here that David, when he came into where the army was, he ran from his carriage. In fact, he just threw the reins over to the carriage keeper, and he ran into the army to see what was going on. And this is where we want to pick it up. And what happened is that when he was doing that, he heard the voice of the Philistine. He heard him. And then Goliath made his appearance, and they saw him. And it says here that when that happened, that the men, when they saw him, they flew. They took off. They were not ready to do anything with him. And consequently, David had a little dialogue with the people there, and then he ended up speaking to his elder brother. And his elder brother had some demeaning words for him. He said, "Look, kid, why don't you go back and take care of your sheep back there with your father?" And so, he more or less, he didn't want anything to do with him. But through that, David said, this is what he said, in verse 29 and 30, and David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause?" I want to leave that in our heart. In spiritual warfare, we keep our eyes on the cause. We don't keep our eyes on people. In spiritual warfare, we keep our eyes on the cause, not on people. And you know, this is a little illustration of what's happening today with youth. Youth are action people. You know, if you know anything about the news, you know every time there's a little uprising in any city or any state, that it's the youth that come in, and they want action. They want to demonstrate. They want to turn cars over. They want to, you know, they want to break windows and stores. They want to rob. They want to do this. They want to upset. They really don't know what they're there for. They just want action. You know, here is David, and those warriors who have been in the army of Israel. And when they heard this challenge, they left. David was action. You know, I don't want to be like the old warriors. I don't want to flee confrontation. Number one, I want to be a conqueror. Stay with me. I want to be a conqueror. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19, "The willing and the obedient shall eat the good of the land." We know that. The willing and the obedient. So when there is something to conquer, and we want somebody else to do it, we're not very willing. You know, we have to be willing to be obedient. That's a hard thing these days. Young people are not willing to be obedient. They want a free life. They're independent. They're taught independency. They're taught in grade schools, elementary school, high schools. They're taught to do your own thing. So they're not coming underneath any jurisdiction of discipleship like we know it, all right? So here we are. And what is at stake here is conquering. What is at stake is our inheritance as individuals, our inheritance as a church, our inheritance as Zion Fellowship. What is at stake? What is the cause that would cause our inheritance to be at stake? You know, we must believe that we want to make progress in our spiritual journey, but we need to understand where we're at is usually occupied by other people, just like it was with Joshua when he crossed Jordan. The land was occupied, by tribes, people, and giants. And the other side of that is we could say, well, Mount Sinai wasn't inhabited by anything. Mount Sinai was easy. We get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's easy. There wasn't any tribes there, there wasn't any giants there. But lo and behold, in the promised land, there were people and there were giants. And so here we are, here's the battle. What comes to me is this: am I willing for the Lord to make me a conqueror? You know, wars are this, if I can give a little description of wars. Wars are usually somebody is coveting somebody else's property or their territory, and they want their territory back, they want their property back, and so wars start. And I want you to know, we're going to discuss something tonight about something that wants our territory and our inheritance, and our inheritance is at stake. We need to trust the Lord, right? I believe that the enemy always resists our spiritual inheritance. I've asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why is it such that all these things are happening to individuals in our churches, in the fellowship, in our outreach and missionaries? Why is it? And I believe the Lord spoke something to me. The enemy always resists our spiritual inheritance and our eternal values. So we're going to look at Mount Zion. Mount Zion was the last and the most difficult stronghold to capture. We know that about David. We know the story. But you know something? There's spiritual Mount Zion that has to do with our life, that has to do with our inheritance. And it's the hardest stronghold. It's going to be the last place the church is brought to. Also in heavenly places, the church is being brought to spiritual Mount Zion. And what happens there is the territory, spiritually speaking, has to be taken away from what is there. And it's up to us to conquer that. And I believe in heavenly places that the Lord speaks something about heavenly places. I'll quote Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 19 through 22. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? And we're looking at his resurrection power. I love what I see when I'm up here. I am the resurrection and the life. You know, I love that verse because it was a verse that was given to us in the Spirit by our spiritual leader who's gone on to be with the Lord. And we need to have that same resurrection power working in us that we can overcome and we can conquer. But there's things that need to be looked at and let the Lord speak to our hearts. There was somebody in that territory called the Jebusites. Jebusites. We've heard a lot about the Jebusites. But you know, the Jebusites are not dead. The spiritual meaning of the Jebusites. We know what the Lord said about them. I'll quote Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land, whether thou goest to possess it, and has cast out many nations before thee, he names them Hittites, Gergesites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. These were the nations in the land of Palestine. God gave victory over Israel to them. And God's going to give us victory over these same ones. You know, some of these spirits have taken their toll on us. They've caused us to have problems with spiritual maturity. They've caused us to detour to the left and to the right till the Lord starts speaking to us again. Now, in Exodus chapter 3, verse 8, "And I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good land." The Lord is saying this is what he did for his people. And I believe the Lord wants to come into us. And he wants to bring us up into Mount Zion. He wants to bring us up to the mountain, which is our inheritance. But we have problems. We have problems. We have these things that God hates. If God hates something, we should take notice. We should take notice when God hates something. So the spiritual meaning of all these enemies, yes, they're there. We're not going to look at that. We're going to look at number 7. We're going to look at the Jebusites, because in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 19, we find out what that spiritual meaning is. The Jebusites, who are trying to stop us from our spiritual inheritance, from going up the mountain, spiritually speaking, is sowers of discord amongst the brethren. Sowers of discord amongst the brethren. Church, pastors, believers, God wants us to put to rest this giant. God wants us to put to rest this spirit that wants to stop us as Zionites, believers, going up to the mountain, to Mount Zion. But you know, I want to give a little definition of this discord. When we don't have anything good to say about somebody in someone else's presence, that's the small spirit of discord. They don't hear it, but that spirit of discord, that spiritual meaning of Jebusite, they hear it. And they take that little by little by little. When we go to meet that person, what happens is that we're not easy in their environment. You know, we should be able to meet one another in the Lord, and we should be able to have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts so that we are comfortable in their presence. We can't get by with this, "Oh, I love their soul, but I hate their behavior." That's a cliche. The thing is, we are supposed to have the love of God shining in our hearts so that even though they have a behavior problem, we know that there should be love in our hearts towards them, and we should be comfortable with other believers. We should not feel, "Well, I wish they, I'm be glad when they go." Or, you know, if you see somebody over the left aisle of the church after we're done, you hit the right aisle because there's some little discord in your spirit and you don't want to go where they are because you're not comfortable in your presence. God help us. Is there a cause? Oh, there's a cause. There's a cause. We're looking at it. Discord sowing amongst the brethren. This is the opposite of unity of the brethren. This is the opposite of Psalm 133 that we all know by heart. And we know how good and how pleasant it is. But you know, there's something there on the bottom that descended upon the mountain of Zion. "For there the Lord commandeth the blessings, even life forevermore." The Lord's been speaking something to me, and I'll share it with you. Something must change. We want the anointing. I want the anointing. I want Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, the 7 spirits of the Lord. Oh, I want the anointing. But I'll tell you what, God has no intentions of filling us with the Spirit when we have any strand whatsoever in us of discord with the brethren. We must come to grips. We want the anointing. God's promised us the anointing. We pray for the anointing. We seek God for the anointing. And God's very gracious. But I'm talking about the anointing that enables us. And we'll get to that a little bit. We want the anointing, but what stops it? God is not going to share space in our spirit with discord. We have got to come to grips and put to rest discord for once and for all, that we have no reason to want to entertain it, that we want to go on with God, and there is a cause. There is a cause. God was speaking to my own heart. He said, I'm speaking to you about every strain that's in you. I said, Lord, only you. Because it's so easy. It is so easy to run our mouth about other people when they're not listening to us. We can talk about them. Maybe we won't say anything too uplifting. And we say, well, that's not too bad. They deserve what I'm saying. They don't deserve what you're saying. What you're doing, you're feeding. You're feeding that spiritual giant that says, I am blocking God's people from going up Mount Zion. I'm blocking them because as long as there's discord in their spirit, God is not going to fill them with the seven spirits of the Lord and the anointing that we so seek after. We seek after, we wait for it patiently. We wait for it, we pray for it, we seek after it. And then you know we get caught off guard. We get caught off guard. That little strain that we have in us comes alive. And I'm saying, Lord, something must change. You have promised to those who have been birthed in Zion. You have promised that there is a promised land. You said you were going to take us there. And I believe that. I want you to know I believe that. But there are some things that I know that God wants done in my own life and our hearts. And so this little spirit that is up against the inheritance of Zion, you know, that Zion that was birthed in my spirit, you know, that happened 60 years ago at a camp meeting. One little speck of birth came into me about revival. 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 And you know, that thing started to grow, and it was birthed in me. What's birthed in us? What's birthed in us has got to come forth. My goodness sakes. I mean, you know, ladies, please, not being too personal here, but a child is supposed to be 9 months. For goodness sakes, you don't want to carry it for 24 years. But, you know, here we are. The Lord birthed something in us. He birthed something in us. And he wants to bring it. He wants to show it. He wants to expose what we are, what he is in us, what he has done in us. And so I share that with you. Now I want to look at something again. God speaks to us. I want to empty everything in your vessel that stops me from wanting to come in and give you the desires of a person that's been birthed in Zion. When you're birthed in Zion, you only want to win the Christ. You want to, and you know what you are. And so here comes the Lord, and he's speaking to me, and he says, I want to deal with you about discord. And so when it came and revealed it to me, I said, Lord, you want to empty myself. You want to empty me so that you could put the love of the Father to be shed abroad in my heart. That's what you want to do. And that's what God exactly wants to do. When the vessel is emptied, 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 then the love of God and the love of the Father will be shed abroad in our hearts. And there'll be no more talking. There'll be no more demeaning talk. There will be just this encouraging, uplifting, because something has changed. The love of the Father has been shed abroad in the heart. Now I want to go on, and I want to look at our spiritual mentor, our spiritual mentors. And I want to give an example of this. It's found in 1 Kings chapter 21, verses 1, 2, and 3. And it goes like this. It came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab the king. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it's near unto my house, and would give thee for it a better vineyard than it. It seems good to thee. I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, let's just get deep in our spirit. The Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my father unto thee. The Lord forbid that I should give the inheritance of my father. We are the lineage of Abraham. We are coming down through Pastor Bailey, our spiritual father, the fellowship. And I say this, I forbid to lean myself to the spirit of discord so that I would not have the inheritance that's given unto us. It cost him his life. We know that story. But we have an inheritance. We have an inheritance. You know, when a father has children and there's a passing away and the will is read and the inheritance is given down through the natural family. In the spiritual family, when the Lord takes away a leader, then that which was involved in his life, we have an inheritance. And so we can inherit some of the things if we can only do what we're supposed to do. And so, you know, I'm saying because of discord amongst the brethren, we can lose our spiritual inheritance in Zion. And I want to give a little things that impressed me about our leader. I knew some of him. I wish I knew a lot more of him. I owe so much to him that I couldn't possibly say what. But, you know, there it is. But in his life, he had little time for leisure or doing what I wanted to do. He had little time for that. What was on his heart was he wanted to fulfill God's perfect will for my life, in the first sense, speaking about his life. He wanted to fulfill God's perfect will for his life. And these are some things that he had. And I said, Lord, do I want to please you also like that? That was a good question to ask the Lord. You know why I asked him that? Because I know the Lord is the author of revival. Remember something. We are preparing ourselves for revival. He's the author of revival. He's the one that's going to let the birthing in our spirit come to fulfillment, and revival is right around the corner. You know, and the corner might be how long, but I tell you, you can almost breathe it. You can almost smell it. It burns in my spirit that revival is fast approaching. And I have some draining of my spirit that needs to be drained. So the very thing that I so want, an inheritance from the Lord, an inheritance passed down to us. So I say this very openly. We need to be very careful of things. That spirit tries to turn us aside. We better be careful about activities. We ought to be careful. I said, I've given a lot of time to activity, a big sports person. I don't know if there's any sports in heaven. I really don't. But I know one thing. The activities of sports can ruin you by spending too much time. For any of you that are sports-minded, you couldn't be any more than I have, all right? I want to be as my leader. I want to be true to him and to the Lord. Whatever happens to me, we need to be true. Whatever the Lord is letting happen into our life, and it shakes us, we need to be true so that he can perfect us for what he wants to do with us. And I believe that the Lord's speaking something to us, and I say this as I've heard things said. I think the Lord wants us to have another opportunity to create an altar, and I'll explain that shortly. We need to come to grips with the altar. The altar is where we have reconciliation. The altar is where we are to have the minister of reconciliation. Pastors, we can pastor for years and never be in union and communion with the Lord. We're doing our old thing because we miss something. We miss something at the altar. You know why music goes astray? It's because when people give their hearts to the Lord, they're not willing to sacrifice their bodies. And so they don't want to let go of that thing that they had in the world. And they're an easy target for when the music starts because they never did anything at the altar about music. If they had done something at the altar about music, then the Lord would have an opportunity to put the song of the Lord in them. But what happens is at the altar, it's determined whether or not they want to do Romans chapter 12, verse 1, whether they want to present their bodies as a sacrifice. No, I'd rather do the other music that is so nice. Well, we heard about that this morning. But I'm saying what happens, what breaks that, is when there is an experience at the altar as they know what happened at the cross, and then they want to give what they're supposed to give to the Lord. That's a part of what happens when we need to be reconciled. We are going to give our account, and I'm very thankful that we have an opportunity to give our lives to the Lord and let it be a place of worship, but we need to sacrifice. Our bodies need to be willing. And you know, I'm going to quote Psalm 110, that we would be willing in the day of his power. The day of his power is fast coming, when we're going to see a release of heaven. And the heavens are going to open, and everything that we have heard and believed for is going to happen. But the issue is, where will we be? And so I'm saying, Lord, when you speak afresh, then I need to come to my private altar. What has slipped through my life because I have not come to the altar? I wouldn't want to be on a transparency behind me. Things slip through. But you know, when the Lord speaks afresh, I'm going to quote Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. If we want to inherit God's blessings in Zion Fellowship, we need to continually offer sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving for the goodness of the Lord. He's had mercy on us. He's had mercy on us. Let's follow through. I want to come to a conclusion, all right? I want to come to a conclusion. It's all in the conclusion. Everything has been preparatory for what's in the conclusion. It's all right? You know, it's not easy to always give thanks to the Lord when things go into our life. But faith is released when we give thanks to the Lord. You ever notice that? When you give thanks to the Lord, faith rises up in your spirit. And it's released because you're giving thanks to the Lord. All right, here we are. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, Abraham passed through the land into the land of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord. One, he built an altar unto the Lord who had appeared to him. And removed from thence into a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, too, and called upon the name of the Lord. What we have here is that the Lord appeared and said, unto thy seed will I give this land, or blessing. The Lord has spoken to Zion, and unto our spiritual seed of our leader, in and through the lineage of Abraham. When the Lord speaks to us, what happens? We get a strength. We receive strength of that word when the Lord speaks to us. You need to hear the voice of the Lord. Because when you hear the voice of the Lord, it gives strength to you. Strength, the whole study, all right? But I could say that Abraham's obedience, what did he do? He built an altar. He built an altar wherever he settled. Now I know the Lord is speaking something that we need, and we'll get there, an altar. He built an altar wherever he went. So the closer he got to the promised land, he built an altar. We need to have individual altar building, not just when the Lord blessed us here, but we need to realize something else is happening now, that we need to build an altar when we are going up the mountain, and we need to build an altar of prayer. We need to build an altar of prayer, one of the biggest mistakes in family life that we can make is not to have a family altar with our families. You know what happens there? The lineage of Abraham is broken and devoured because we didn't teach. We didn't have an altar. So consequently, we wonder why sometimes our sons and our daughters, I have two daughters, why there is that need to want to press in, because that lineage of the seed of Abraham was broken down because there wasn't a family altar where it was spoken to and said what God wants to do in our life. It's damaging. It's damaging. And I would say to us, we should be very careful. You know, what isn't dealt with at the altar? What isn't dealt with at the altar in our early walk in salvation? Sad but true. What isn't dealt with manifests itself later in our life. What isn't dealt with in our early walks that should be, and we think is dead? What isn't dealt with, it manifests itself. Because that old spirit of discord finds a way to explode, bring difficulties. And I believe the Lord is just speaking to us that the spiritual seed of Pastor Bailey, Abraham, is what's going to receive revival. But we can be disqualified. And one of the things that can disqualify us is that spirit that we talked about, is discord. It can disqualify us. It can disqualify us. We might have knowledge. We might have a birthing. But if we don't let that spirit be put to rest, it can disqualify us. It's very true. Now, we want to go on. Remember Psalm 133, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together. Now, is there a cause? I say, yes, there is. We could win by God's grace the battle in Zion Fellowship, in our churches, in our homes. But I want us to look at something. Hosea chapter 12, verse 6. Therefore, turn thou to thy God, keep mercy and judgment, and wait on the God continually. Wait on thy God continually. You know, we ask the Lord for direction, and I think we need to repent. I've heard that word, repentance. I think we need to repent of entertaining the spirit of discord sowed amongst the brethren. We need to repent of that. We need to repent of every strain of discord that's in us, so that we could be turned. And here's why. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I'm going to stop there. A royal priesthood. You know, in the tabernacle of Moses, in the outer court, there's the altar, sacrifice. People get saved, give their hearts to the Lord. That's the ministry of an evangelist. Then when you go over to the laver, you have the washing of the word. That's the ministry of a pastor. That's what they should be doing. When we go inside the Holy of Holies, we see the candlestick. In the prophetic miracles, the office of a prophet. Then we step aside and we go to the table of showbread. And there is the ministry and the office of teachers of righteousness. And we know that God wants to make us teachers of righteousness. But the Lord is speaking something to me, and he has something more for us at Mount Zion. And here it is. The next step up the mountain, the next step up the mountain. We mentioned it. Priesthood, royal priesthood, is what happens at the altar of incense. We need to build another altar and wait on God so that we can have the ministry of a priest. And you say, well, the Bible says we are kings and priests. I am talking about the ministry of priesthood that was passed down to us from our leader that gives us access into the throne room. Teachers of righteousness, let's not stop at that altar. We ask God to give us teaching ministries. But I know when the Lord speaks something to us, there is that priestly ministry that if we build another altar and we wait on the Lord patiently and we get drained in our spirit, we get drained of that which he hates. Deal with it. Put it to rest so that we can have access into the throne room. Our leader had access into the throne room. He spoke to us about it. He shared it with us. And inside of my heart, I said, oh, I'll never be able to do that. And the Lord said something to me, oh, yes, you can. If you want the inheritance of the fathers, right down from Abraham down through to Pastor Bailey, right down through, if you want that inheritance, then you listen to my voice. I want royal priest also in Zion Fellowship. I want a new altar built individually. It's invisible, but it's our altar. It's our altar, and God is speaking and seeking us so that we could be a people that would have access to the throne room. Revival's coming. Revival's coming. The enemy is going to put up his counterfeit. We know that. But God has an opportunity to us. Is there a cause? The cause I want to lay it out. The cause is, yes, there are those other ministries. Yes, we are to be involved in those ministries. But yes, there is another step up to the mountain that has to deal with priesthood, royal priesthood. What does that mean? That means at the altar of prayer, we will be invited into the throne room, heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Yes. But oh, how that enemy wants to stop us. He's doing everything he can to let us give our little sweet little criticism, our sweet little talks, But I'll tell you what. Oh, yes. You can stay. You can stay as an evangelist ministry. Oh, you can stay as a pastor or ministry. You can have the office of a prophet. And you could be teachers of righteousness. But there's something else the Lord is offering to us of our inheritance. He's offering that position of priesthood. And I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, you know my life. The Lord says, I know you inside out, but I'm offering to you, Daniel, Zion Fellowship, an opportunity to have a new altar up the mountain. This altar, as Abraham moved from place to place, he built an altar. As we move from spiritual place to place, we need to build an altar. This altar has to be tied in to the cross. So what happens at the cross is available to us. The resurrecting power can enable us to do the things that we cannot do on our own, but it can enable us. It can enable us to be a royal priesthood that has an inheritance to go into the throne room and in and out. That is so needed. That is something that's been birthed into my heart. We have the calling to have the inheritance of those that went before us. They're passing it down. And we can qualify if we just listen to what God says. And I want to close on one other little verse. Here we are. I'm looking for it. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 5. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense. Oh, how we want the glory of God over Zion Fellowship. How we want the manifest presence of the Lord in our churches. How we want to carry the manifest presence of the Lord where we live, where we work. But you know, one of the things that stop us is that old spirit sowing discord that the Lord hates. Let's put it to rest. So that we can have an altar, a new altar built and said, Lord, you put it to rest for me. Now, Lord, I want to be a royal priesthood. I want to have the ministry of being able to go in and out of the throne room. It's accessible to those that qualify, but God hates discord. He hates it. And I believe that there is a cause. Tonight, there is a cause. The cause is God wants to put to death the spirit of discord in our midst. If there's a little strain of discord, it will disqualify us to go higher up the mountain. The qualifications have lifted higher. We can have discord in some areas of ministry we shouldn't, but for some reason God allows it. But now God is speaking afresh. He's looking for the priesthood ministry that has access to his throne room. We need to put to death that old spirit of discord. And I said, Lord, you know, we have waited patiently for revival. You know, Lord, we have waited patiently to see the glory of God. You know, Lord. And the Lord just got right back to me. Said, I want to shed abroad in your heart my Father's love. I want to shed abroad in your heart my Father's love. Then he spoke to me about priesthood. So tonight, I offer an opportunity. that we need to put to rest. We need to put to rest that spirit of sowing discord that disqualifies us from going higher up the mountain when God is speaking fresh. It's time to go higher up the mountain. It's time to come into a priesthood ministry. It's time to come into the inheritance that I've given the fathers before you. It's yours, but you need to put to rest discord. So I stand with you. I want you to know I stand with you. I stand with you. Right here. Come. You want to be with me. This door, I don't want to be. I don't want to. I want to be put to rest. I'm standing here before the Lord. 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 You know every strain I want on my spirit. Every strain. Ask the Lord. I'm asking you. Put the rest. Put the rest once and for all, Heavenly Father, let the Spirit of the living God flow to us. Have mercy on us, Lord. We're waiting patiently for this time, for this time, for this time. Put the rest, put the rest. That spirit of sowing of discord, Lord. Bring it out of our spirit. Bring it. Put it to death. In the name of Jesus. Oh, just going to ask the Lord, Lord, sovereignly, what you have done, sovereignly, shut the mouth of the Jebusite spirit once and for all in me and in us. That which has been birthed in Zion, let it come forth. And I pray, Lord, that I will build a new altar higher up the mountain. Lord, that will enable us. Enable us, Lord. Enable us, Lord, to have access to the throne room, that we would qualify. Help us, I pray, Lord. Help us, I pray, Lord, to seek that resurrecting power that would give us and enable us in your precious name. Amen.